First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on your role, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you found us.
And twitch.tv/upnextpodcast. Hello, Twitch room, and hello, YouTube room as well. We are live also on youtube.com/upnext.
You know, we are 48 people away from 1,000.
Oh.
48. I see you people. You went and followed and subbed to the YouTube, but there's still a lot of you out there that haven't done it. But wow, 48 more till we get to a K, and we can call ourselves 1K.
Champions.
Yeah, that's our only goal.
The podcast. Once we hit 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. 48 more people need to subscribe to our YouTubes. Go check it out, of course, because you can go check out a brand new video, yes, and podcast form on this feed, but a video interview with us chatting to our favorite GCW star, Gringo Loco.
Yeah, I just realized I haven't taken him off the
he's video still on screen. This live.
He's still on this live screen there, and I kind of want to leave him up at this point.
We'll leave Gringo Loco up. Why not?
Yeah, we had the great opportunity yesterday to have a chat with Gringo Loco ahead of his return to Demand Lucha in Toronto this Thursday for Lucha Block Party, where he's going to be defending his Premier Championship against Speedball Mike Bailey and Ninja Mac in a triple threat match. And yeah, we had a great chat with Gringo yesterday, talking all about kind of him getting into the business, him kind of wanting to spread Lucha authentically throughout the States.
He's got a great story, definitely. We kind of told him, like, hey, because of Fight TV and GCW kind of getting that little push the past little while, a few years, we've been watching him and we've been a fan, and he came to the last Demand Lucha show. We had a blast at that show. Couldn't recommend people checking out Demand Lucha. They've also advertised another show, I think, coming in August with more, I think, like Effie and Alley Catch and some other ones. But yeah, go look up Demand Lucha. We're going to be there on Thursday night. So looking forward to that. But we sat down, we did a chat with him and Gringo Loco, talking all about some stuff. The Lucha scene on the independents. This guy wrestles almost every day. It's kind of a cool story. He's a Chicago native. We also got into a heated debate. Some Chicago people are going to be furious when they hear the slander from Gringo Loco to one of the legendary pizza places in Chicago. But yeah, it was a fun chat. So go check that out. The pod is on this feed as well.
Just realized I still got the title as interview with Gringo Loco.
Man, so you're just all
maybe
over
I'll
place.
Change that as well.
Yeah, there's no interview with him on this show. But no. Go check it out on our YouTube. And yes, hit that subscribe button, because we just need 48 people more to get to 1,000. That's what we want to do. So go help us out and join. But we appreciate you subscribing and all that stuff. And hey, while you're at it, join that Facebook page and the Twitter at Up Next Podcast as well for all the updates on all the other shows. We're going to talk about some NXT, because obviously, Braden and Davey, we are NXT friends.
Friends!
Yeah, you're busy changing the
thing. Busy changing it.
And we'll chat all about it. We also have BD Elite coming out this week on this feed. We'll be chatting all about the Forbidden Door, which is looking more so like a accessible window.
Yes. Yeah.
Looking at some of the news reports coming out about Bryan Danielson. Yikes. Hopefully he's on the card.
Yeah. Danielson set to address Forbidden Door and Blood and Guts tomorrow and Dynamite, hoping it's good news. But it kind of a bit curious. The injury bug has definitely bitten pro wrestling at the moment.
Yeah.
Randy Orton out for quite a while, kind of shaking up plans in WWE.
It's okay. They got Brock.
It's all right. They're going something fresh. We're getting Brock versus Roman. Fucking hell.
And then Rhea's injured, and it's okay. We got Carmella.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. You've got Punk out. You've got
just little injuries on
Danielson potentially out at the moment. MJF's off TV. Yeah, it's a shame. Like this Forbidden Door thing was something I was really excited about when announced, and it has been a bit of a mess in my opinion. But we've got one Dynamite, one Rampage left. Let's see if they can turn it around. And I'm sure by the time we get to Sunday, we're going to see some really great wrestling.
Yeah, we'll chat all about AEW. I think they've been on a run. Their shows are just always super entertaining. So we'll chat about that. And then possibly a Forbidden Door show down the line. And then we will be going to Blood and Guts next week. So we will be doing some shows on the road, possibly.
Yeah, next week, the schedule's kind of a little bit up in the air. We will be doing Up Next on Tuesday, but we will be leaving to go to Detroit early Wednesday morning. So perhaps BD Elite at a later date.
The Thursday or something.
On the Thursday, yeah. Maybe, or even, our drive back on Friday or something.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, we'll be keeping you all up to date. We've got a lot coming out this week as well.
I swear we'll get to NXT, but we've been podcasting a whole bunch. And go check us out, because for $5 a month, North American tier, on our Patreon, you get everything coming out this month, but everything in the back catalog. Therefore, it equals like pennies, fractions of pennies to each podcast that you can access. We've done a Up Yours, a World Champ patron, Corey, has picked Uncharted, the movie, Mark Wahlberg. He does not talk to animals in this movie, unfortunately. But Tom Holland, great chemistry there. That was a super fun movie and a sweet review. We got Forbidden Door coming up this week. So we thought, why not we look back at the old Forbidden Doors of Ring of Honor and New Japan. And we put a poll on the Facebook. It was a unanimous decision that...
Yeah, we'll be looking at War of the Worlds from 2014 from the Hammerstein Ballroom. This show looks pretty nuts, headlined by AJ Styles taking on Michael Elgin and Kazuchika Okada in a triple threat match for the IWGP heavyweight title. You've got an ROH world title match, Booker T's guy Adam Cole defending the title against Jushin Thunder Liger,
nice.
Which sounds super interesting.
Yeah, this show is a banger.
You've got the Young Bucks versus Red Dragon in an ROH tag team title match, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Kevin Steen. A whole lot on this show. This looks great. We're going to be talking about this later this week.
Yeah, you can access the show, I think, on Honor Club if you want to go back and find it. But we're going to be watching it this week and reviewing that out on the Patreon. We also did another review, Up Yours. Andrew McDonald, the world champ of ours, picked a nice timely celebration of TNA wrestling. Shout out Impact 20 years.
Congrats.
Yeah, well, we did a TNA pay-per-view review of a pay-per-view I was at, Destination X 2007, Samoa Joe, Christian Cage, the Last Rites match, Sting and Abyss, the Elevation X match. That was fun. Chatting about TNA is something we don't always get to do, so it was cool to kind of dive back to 2007 and talk all about, especially seeing where a lot of those guys are now in the present. Fast forward, a long time from 2007. Heel Christian on Dynamite.
Always parallel, yeah, it always somehow. Works. And on top of that, it is currently the eve of the Obi-Wan Kenobi finale. We'll be talking about the entire series. We haven't really spoken about it a great deal yet. We'll be running through all six episodes later this week on the Patreon. So you know us. We've got all of the Star Wars films on this free feed that we've gone and talked about. And sign up to the Patreon to hear our thoughts on Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I mean, the midichlorians are off the scale with this six-episode thing, which I hope leads to a season two of Obi-Wan. But yeah, for you Star Wars fans out there, we're going to be diving into that. So get your feedback in as well with great comments or Easter eggs or questions and stuff. We'll post up a feedback thread because we'll love your input of all the nerdy Star Wars stuff. But I've been loving the show. We've been not talking about it on this show just because we want to...
Save it.
Yeah. John Cena was saying we should call it Obi-Wan... BD Kenobi? I'm already butchering it. I don't know what the...
BD one? No, how would it be?
OBDE.
OBDE?
Kenobi. Yeah, sure.
Kenobi-DE, wouldn't
it? Kenobi-DE. There you go. Yeah, that's a mouthful. So we'll be chatting all these different shows. There's so many different shows out on our Patreon. Again, go check us out. That's what we do. It's only $5.
Speaking of Sino, he'll have a brand new Shot in the Dark coming out on this very feed tomorrow.
That's right.
15 minutes or less, John Cena runs down all the wrestling you might have missed in the last week. The cliff notes of wrestling.
Yeah.
Everything from kind of like MLW, NXT UK, AEW Dark, Elevation, all of that stuff that you might want to know what's going on.
Yeah, and follow his socials as well, because he goes to a bunch of indie shows, especially in the New York area and stuff. So he covers a whole whack of stuff. So go check out Shot.
Gringo
Dark.
Loco.
He did. He also got a Gringo Loco doll. Just like
he did get the doll?
Yeah, so good
Amazing.
Stuff. Yeah. So go check out all these podcasts, guys. We would appreciate you go checking us out. And we love doing these shows. It's what we do. So, yeah, go check out the content we like to create. Patreon.com/upnext. $5. That's it. And you can get hundreds of podcasts. I'm trying to think of other things that were going on. Tony Khan was in town today for Toronto. I saw John Pollock was posting some things. So I guess we'll get into that because they said Toronto shows are going to happen. Canada shows are going to happen, but no exact time frame yet, which I'm thinking maybe the fall or something like that. What else?
He was at the Collision conference?
I don't know what that is. But
it's like, yeah, some tech conference that's going on because we've been having a whole load of people coming into my work from this conference.
Well, we live right by a fake beach.
Yeah.
And they put up their giant sign on the beach.
Oh, okay.
It says Collision. I wasn't sure what it was.
Yeah, there's definitely, you can tell like the world has opened up again because, yeah, the last couple of weeks been having loads of conferences and they're all at the hotels like right opposite my work. So, being super busy with that.
You think Tony Khan got to Canada and he was like, wow, your White Claw flavors are lacking?
Maybe. They've improved. They're getting
there.
They're getting there.
They have, definitely. Yeah. I gave my dad a White Claw on Father's Day. I don't know if he's ever tried one before. So I was like, Dad, okay, you got to try a... He asked for a beer, but then I was like, I'm having a White Claw. And he's like, yeah, all right, just get me whatever you're getting. I was like, no, Dad, like, I don't know if...
You know.
Yeah, like, I don't know if you know what this is. So he's like, yeah, I'll try it. And he enjoyed it. He said it was pretty good. I like pushing the White Claw on to people.
It was funny because we've, at my work, we've got our own seltzer.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it sucks.
I'm not allowed to say on, we're not behind the paywall here, but yeah, we've got our own seltzer. Let's just say they didn't consult me over this.
Right.
But the owner came in with these shitty hats.
Yeah.
He was like, I want everyone to wear these hats to promote the seltzer.
Yeah.
And as he's doing this, my colleague goes, you do realize you're wearing a Cottage Springs hat right now, which is like
a competitor.
A competitor.
Yeah.
Like, why are you pushing these hats on us? Silly.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good.
I like the Cottage Springs iced tea.
Yeah, those ones are good. Well, I went golfing for Father's Day with my dad, and the golf course had their own brand of seltzer. It's getting out of hand now. It was like some like triple bogey seltzer with like golf balls on it or something. So they didn't push it on me, but I saw it. So I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to try a golf branded seltzer. And it wasn't very good.
I had a mimosa flavored beer yesterday. Yeah, that was quite nice.
Not a hole in one there.
And a pina colada flavored beer recently.
Yeah. Like, someone's
2022 is wild.
Someone listening is like, whatever happened to just beer and liquor? No. What's going on?
Things get better. Things improve.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Should we get into some NXT?
Yeah. Is there any other news that's all going on? John Laurinaitis out, it seems.
Oh, yeah. We kind of talked about Vince.
Administrative leave. Bruce Pritchard taking over as talent relations. Vince just showing up on TV.
Again.
I mean, I'm surprised he wasn't on... Oh, I guess it was taped.
Yeah. If
NXT, next week he'll be on 2.0.
So he can hop and skip off the steps and get memed.
He'll come out announced as what? Victor McMagnus or something.
He needs
an NXT 2.0 name.
Look, it's really weird. We touched on it, I think, on BD Elite when that news kind of broke that day. But I feel like the Vince McMahon thing is very, very odd. Of course, as wrestling fans, we grew up, he's like the god of wrestling, essentially. And we always were like, but it's Vince. He's got so many, I mean, Dark Side of the Ring kind of points fingers at him for a ton of stuff. But then this story breaks and... Of course he tries to pop a rating and shows up and did what he did. It's like the most Vince thing that he could have done. And I'm not saying that like I didn't think it was a smart idea, but I also like I think he knows what he's doing. And it reminded me of like when like a politician like gets some dirt on him, but instead it reminded me of Trump. Okay, it reminded me of Trump.
Yeah.
And I just went, come on.
It felt so sleazy. You know it is,
yeah.
But you know it's going to work. And
100%.
Like, we've got all the, like, sports channels on at work and sports news. And
everywhere covered.
Wrestling's never covered on these, like, sports channels. Rarely.
Yeah.
Rarely covered. And all I've seen the last few days is, like, the Vince McMahon story. And then showing, like, Vince McMahon appearing on SmackDown tonight and things like that. And you think, well... And I've heard people that don't watch are like, I kind of had to tune in, see
what's going on with Vince.
What Vince was going to do.
Is it a work? No one's saying that for this one. Yeah, definite, just strange. And then again, does it on Raw. I don't necessarily think this is the like nail in the coffin for Vince. It's just odd that all of them, you know, seem to have jumped ship, even though what now Steph is back in doing like
she's in the CEO role.
We forgot to ask Gringo Loco about Stephanie McMahon. Next time.
She's GCW's big fan, right?
Yeah, exactly. We should have talked about that. It's definitely weird time as a wrestling fan, but I don't think necessarily like what's gonna happen. He's gonna say I'm sorry if that comes to that. Like he settled his other lawsuit all of a sudden.
I think the thing is whether more stories come out, you know,
yeah.
And we're about a week removed from this news breaking and haven't really seen it spiral yet.
Yeah.
So that's something worth keeping an eye on. The Sasha Banks thing is very interesting.
Right.
Been reported by, was it Wrestling Inc? That she may have got a release, but nothing has been kind of put out there publicly yet. So that's all kind of still in the rumor mill, which obviously is huge. That's a huge free agent if that is the case, and just funny timing. And I can imagine if it has happened, they've deliberately not wanted to kind of make this public news yet with everything going on, because it does seem suspicious, you know?
Yeah, I would like to see her elsewhere at this point. What are the best top running suggestions for her All Elite Impact Zone name? Like, what's her real name? Yeah,
good
probably
enough,
still
yeah.
say the boss.
Like, especially if she's gonna like her. She was billed as Mercedes in
Mercedes.
Star Wars, right? Mercedes Varnado. Yeah, that's a cool name.
Yeah,
or just be Koska Reeves. See if Tony can buy it.
She is coming back as this character, right? Like, she's in the new season, I think, of Mando. So
have they? I don't know.
Yeah.
I would assume. I know they've Katie Sackhoff's character is back, so I would assume so.
Interesting. Mm. No, definitely would be a big star for AEW to get, and I would imagine that's exactly where she will pop up. I could see her doing the Stardom stuff and all the other stuff she wants to do, but definitely a big name, big money there for her in AEW, I would imagine. What would be the first Britt versus Sasha? Unfortunately, Sasha would have to dump on Britt, the big star there. But that would, like, think of the big stars. I know Thunder Rosa is the champion, but...
I mean, I think you could have... I don't know. Would you maybe have, like, her be the one to defeat Jade, maybe?
Wow.
And then do, like, a champion versus champion thing, or...
Got you.
I don't know. I think she could be one of AEW's kind of most important signings.
Yeah,
I think obviously Punk and Bryan were big, but I think the women's division is something.
And now they're both injured.
Yeah, but I think the AEW women's division is something you can see has been improving. It's still not where it should be yet, I don't think. But you've seen the likes of Serena Deeb, Thunder Rosa putting on good matches. Britt has got that star quality. Tony's been putting out some good stuff. Chris Statlander's starting to kind of really come into her own. Jade and the baddies, they're really starting to come into their own. But I think it needs that, like, top star veteran in the division. And Sasha Banks is that all over.
Yeah, 100%. I'd be interested to see what she does outside WWE. She's made a name for herself. She's almost, looks like she kept saying to them, like, let's do this. Let's do this. Hey, I'm in Star Wars. Why can't we promote this? And it's like they just keep not treating her maybe like the big star that I think that we all kind of see in her. So, interesting. Of course, people are always like, well, Charlotte's going to go over because Andrade's over there. But, you know, he's not even wrestling on the pay-per-view because he's not allowed to. You heard about that? It was supposed to be Ospreay Andrade.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Which would have been great.
Yeah.
But
we'll get it. Just do it on Dynamite.
I bumped into our friend Trav the other day.
Okay.
At a bar after work the other day. And he reminded me that he's been saying for like a good year or so now.
Yeah.
He's like, all I want to see is Will Ospreay versus Orange Cassidy. We're like, oh yeah.
True. Yeah.
So it's happening. I think that would be a fun match.
Yeah, it'll still be a good show. Don't get me wrong, but yeah.
But and then finally, if you are in the Detroit area next week, if you are going to Blood and Guts, reach out. We'd love to see as many of you as possible. You've never been to Detroit before.
Yeah.
I know we got at least one listener there in B Detroit who will be seeing. But if you kind of listen and don't maybe kind of interact with us, let us know. We'd love to meet as many of you as possible.
Yeah, we'll definitely be bar hopping around the venue, I think, beforehand. So come by, get some blood and guts.
But I think it's time. Let's get into some NXT 2.0 from June 21st, 2022. Another taped edition of the show. We'll be going back to live NXT next week. But we start with Solo Sikoa taking on Grayson Waller. Waller comes down the ramp with a mic saying, "I'm so sick of hearing about Solo Sikoa. We should be talking about Grayson Waller, the greatest first-generation talent in WWE history. And I know you all love Solo because you're all Solo in your lives. A bunch of losers supporting a loser. And I'm sick of censoring myself, so I think it's time for me to say what I think about you and everyone here." When Solo punches him in the face,
you heard him
sign this match. Yeah, it was kind of everything he said last week. This Solo line, not his best stuff, I don't think.
I thought it was great. It was my favorite part.
But they're so they're brawling on the outside in the ring. Waller goes for a hip attack, but Solo kind of halts up and hits him with a clothesline, starts delivering some chops and some big punches. Waller then comes back by stomping on Solo's foot and hits a STO. After the commercial, Waller hits Solo with a leg lariat for a two count, followed by a DDT for another two. Waller climbs to the top and starts showboating when Solo pushes him off to the outside. There's then a running shoulder block to the floor, followed by the running hip attack in the corner. Solo then gets Waller up on his shoulders for the Samoan drop, but Waller, trying to get out of the move, pulls off the turnbuckle pad, exposing it, and slips out. Waller goes for his rolling stunner, but Solo catches him with the Samoan drop this time, and then goes for a running splash into the corner, but Waller gets out the way, causing Solo to crash into the exposed turnbuckle with his shoulder, allowing Waller to hit the rolling stunner for the win.
Every Grayson Waller match is, okay, what can the excuse be that you'll stand there in the middle of the ring for the rolling stunner? Mm. Every time he does a match with the finish, you knew that's what he does. Like, there's always a different reason why the person would be like, "Ah, my back.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna stand right here and crutch." It's like, it's pretty funny that he comes up with so many different ways, because that move, I still think it's the most ridiculous move in wrestling, because it's just like, okay, I get doing rolls, I get doing flips, but you're going out of the ring to then run into the ring to roll and then just do a normal.
It depends how it's done. Like, I think he's done it sometimes where it's kind of look cool.
Of course,
he has been out of the ring and the guy's just getting up and you're diving in. I don't know. It's wrestling. The people's elbow in the worm is cool to me as well.
Oh, like, the worm is better so far. Don't even put this in the same category as the worm, please. No, I feel like I could be on my own, but let me know. Am I on my own? Does this move look stupid? Like, it's just always the fact that it's like, hold on, I got to roll. By the time he does the roll, he just goes, oh, I'm standing now. I'm just going to do a stunt. It's like, it's not like Rey Fénix doing some sort of corkscrew thing. But it had some cool stuff. I think this is clearly furthering this and kind of sidelining Solo. So I was a bit sour on that.
Yeah, I feel like Solo's been getting quite hot, and I don't think this is necessarily the right move for him right now, because he definitely feels to be in that North American championship picture.
But he cheated, so.
He cheated, yeah. I just don't know how necessary this was here. We've seen Waller take a few L's. I think Solo is the one you're kind of trying to build up here. But maybe it is just a bit of a distraction while Melo is kind of doing this stuff with D'Angelo. But
or they make it a multi-man at the Bash.
Perhaps.
Because Waller can be like, look, I beat you, so I get the shot too, or something. But.
Yeah, I thought the match was fine. I thought the actual turnbuckle spot at the end looked weak, because he kind of took it on the back of his shoulder, and it was more just like, ah, that kind of sucked. But, yeah.
Probably felt good.
But I think I've seen better from both, to be honest. We go to Tony D'Angelo with the family, and Tony says it's a big night for the Legados to get on my good side when they beat Roderick Strong and Damon Kemp, and when I have the opportunity to get gold. He says that Elektra is doing exactly what we told her to do, and Santos has a chance to prove himself tonight to the fans. He goes, right, Santos? And Santos kind of all night has this just blank, like, dead stare on his face. And he's like, absolutely, boss. Don't worry about it, boss. So Santos saying that he's got D'Angelo's back in the North American Championship main event tonight. And
I still like how Santos still looks like the leader of this group. Because Legado dressed like to the nines in their expensive suits. And here's just this guy in his
track suit,
like Tony Soprano going to Bada Bing. So it's like, okay, I love the looks. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. This cartoon land mafia world we live in doesn't make sense. But yeah.
We get a shot of a car just driving down a long open road. We hear, do you hear that? That's the winds of change. And then it's cut between shots of Dublin. And we hear a familiar voice, Jordan Devlin.
I mean, I could recognize the back of that head anywhere. Except it's not Jordan Devlin.
GoldenEye is being remastered, isn't it?
Yeah, hopefully on the Switch.
He says, everyone in NXT 2.0 is going to find out you don't bet against an ace. And coming soon, JD McDonagh.
Yeah, a name change here. So they took his first initials, made it one name, and then added McDonagh.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy had some controversy, obviously, with the whole speaking out thing. Mm. I have noticed he has been being booked on a lot of other independent dates, especially OTT, which I believe that was the whole, like, well, we're not going to book him, and then they ended up booking him. I'm not sure. I'm not the gatekeeper here, but I don't know if all of a sudden it's just fine that people have, like, moved on, or I'm not really quite sure. I think the same thing for a lot of wrestlers, actually, main roster speaking especially. But I'll give my two cents is I actually used to be a really big fan of this guy. Mm. I think his wrestling is next level compared. I know a lot of people, like I just did, always go, oh, he's the guy with the big head, the small guy with the big head. But I always did find his wrestling pretty good. I thought his run when he came to NXT with Santos, the matches weren't quite there. But again, a lot of people were very sour on him at that moment. So I'm not really quite sure what they're doing.
That was a weird time. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those difficult things. At this point, it's the courtroom is social media, right?
Apparently.
And we don't know the facts, and unless it's being taken to authorities and through the things, I guess we gotta move on.
I guess that's what they have with him here. And he's coming to NXT here on this side of the world.
I do like the bringing over of NXT UK people. I think for 2.0 to work, you do need these veterans mixed in with the kind of performance center recruits. We've seen the likes of your Garganos move on, your Tommaso Ciampas move on. You do need some strong, solid wrestlers in NXT 2.0 to help these other kids. And Jordan Devlin, I've never had an issue with his wrestling. His wrestling.
What was the one match? The Walter, right? The big Walter match from time ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that match was awesome. So, the name changes. Look, I'm part Irish. I think it's a silly Irish name that it's just taking his other name and doing it. But WWE, I guess we get over names real quick. So
JD McDonagh, this one doesn't bother me as much as others.
The thing is, he always uses bet against the ace. He's the ace and stuff like that. So, cool. Use that. I always thought that was a cool little thing. But Devlin seems so much more badass. That sounds
the name.
It sounds so cool. I don't know.
What I did take from this is it doesn't look like, apart from the name, his presentation's going to change too much. He's still using his old catchphrase.
What's his finisher going to be called? The McDonagh Inside?
Oh, yeah. What was it? The Devil Inside. Yeah.
I guess he has a new move.
JD Side. JD Sports. I don't know.
Shout out JD.
Do you know JD Sports?
No. Yes. I know JD.
JD Sports. It's some sports shop in the UK. Okay,
nice. Yeah. Maybe that'll be his finisher.
That should be his thing,
I mean, hey, I do like the fact that we're bringing in other people over here. First, we got Fabian Aichner getting suited up and all rich and famous. Why not? Sure. Bring in all these people.
We go to our next match. It's a women's tag match between Kayden Carter and Katana Chance taking on the team of Yulissa Leon and Valentina Feroz. And I love, did you, normally Yulissa and Valentina do their little like shimmying, like hip shaking little dance. Feroz here was doing these like knee squat things.
Damn.
Look great.
Hips don't lie.
Love these two.
Yeah, I love their dance. They always
they look so cheeky when they get
around. They get everyone's attention every week. Yeah. Whenever they have little screen time, they make the most.
And they got
it.
Their big smiles on their face.
They're great. I love these two. Yeah. They, you know, we have to remember these two when it comes to enhancement talent of the year at the year end awards.
100%.
Because they've been great.
They've been impressing every week.
Because we can't give it to Cruz Raul Mendoza again and again because he's not enhancement talent anymore.
Well, Yulissa, Kayden and Casey, Kayden and Katana like to do their dancing as well. So,
okay, I mean, it's safe to say Yulissa and, I forget their name.
Valentina,
their dancing's better.
Oh, yeah. Well, Yulissa starts doing her little dance, her little shimmy at the beginning, and Kayden just hits her with a drop kick, followed by a super kick. Chance comes in with a senton atomico for a two count. Yulissa then rolls through and applies almost like the calf crusher to Chance here. There's then a quick tag and between Kayden and Katana hitting like a leg sweep combo. Leon finally makes the tag to Feroz, who comes in just throwing them around with these quite nice-looking judo throws, followed by a spear, which looked great. And then Leon and Feroz do this kind of flapjack into a facebuster X-Factor combo, which I thought looked pretty nice.
Pretty cool, yeah.
And then the double suplex lift into the neck breaker to Chance. Kayden and Chance start making some quick tags and hitting their own double-team moves, and followed up by the 450 neckbreaker combo to pick up the win.
Yeah, pretty quick match, but there was some cool stuff. I think Katana, Chance the Rapper, and Kayden Carter, like, they always do these quick little things, and they have their spots that they're really good at. So I think we've said this, like, quite a while with them, but, like, the more they do this, the more they're going to, like, get better and better. And I think they are. It's definitely the character stuff that has always been the issue with these two, but... still, the highlight is the opposing team.
Yeah, I think every time we see them, and it can sometimes be just a 2-3 minute match, they've always impressed, Yulissa and Valentina. I think both teams have really good chemistry. They look and feel like tag teams, which I can't say about any in the whole company. Any of the women's teams feel like actual tag teams. I'd say these two do. I really hope when it comes to call-ups or whatever, they don't split these up. Because we've seen that. We've had, like, you know, Shotzi and Tegan feeling like a team, and then they're split immediately. And with the announcement later that we're getting Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez going for tag titles, potentially, I am a bit like, we've got two legit teams here. Can we kind of maybe go with that and focus with these two as singles competitors and not just using these tag titles as props? Because as long as they've been on Toxic Attraction, that's all it is. It's their props. And you watch a match like this and you think, look, there is potential for a good women's tag division here, I think. But yeah, this was good, I thought. We see Wes Lee, who comes out, and he's looking real sad.
I mean, his shirt was great.
His shirt was wonderful.
It reminded me of the show Martin. It had like designs on it. It was sweet. But he's all emotional here.
He's looking all sad. And we haven't really heard him talk much since the Nash Carter or about the Nash Carter release. Like, it's just been, this guy's been trying to find himself. He's had a rough couple of months, that kind of thing. He somewhat addresses it here. He says, I have to thank all of you here. It's a blessing to remain here and receive the love from you all. The word remain made me kind of laugh. Hmm. It's a blessing to, you know, not be fired from NXT.
Right.
He said, there's you deserve it chants from the crowd. He says, this is much needed after the last 3 months. I've gone from the highest of highs to lowest of lows. I went from being two-time tag champion reigning supreme with my best friend and brother to have our world explode under our feet. And he legit starts kind of tearing up here, getting all emotional. And he says, I gotta say, I wear my tears proudly because my world has crumbled and I was sifting through rubble just trying to find myself. And all I could find was pain and anger. And I have to apologize. From Zion to Sanger, all I was trying to do was prove myself and show that I can stand on my own two feet and do what I need to do. He's then interrupted by Trick, but kind of this here, kind of first time really addressing it, kind of touching on, not mentioning him by name, but touching on Nash Carter a bit more than I thought. And we know, like, these two are legit real life best friends.
Yeah.
I believe in this whole situation, Nash Carter's actually been staying with Wesley through some of it.
Right.
And as, like, this seemed somewhat genuine, even though being put in, like, a scripted scenario.
Yeah, there was a bit of a Nash Carter chant as well when he was kind of alluding to him, obviously. It is strange, because when we've seen someone get released, we've seen Indy be like, oh, well, I don't have a boyfriend anymore, or my husband's gone, my friend's gone, that's it, move on, sadness, whatever. And then even Wesley's promo weeks and weeks before, where he was kind of like, I need to move on, and kind of that stuff. It's good that they're, like, addressing it, but at this point, I'm like, okay, is he coming back?
Yeah, that's what it felt quite heavy. Like,
yeah,
that it gave you the impression that Nash Carter is going to come back.
Okay, again, no gatekeeper here, but, like, is that where people are at? Because whenever I see he's wrestling everywhere again, there was that MJF tweet about Nash Carter. There was a lot of things that came out about Nash Carter. And, of course, there's, you know, different people.
MJF kind of in support of him. Yes, saying yes, he knows he's not anti-Semitic.
And, yeah, he said he's like, and lived with him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know. Watching this, I was like, oh, is he showing up? Is he coming back? What are we doing?
I definitely got that impression as well. Trick Williams interrupts him, telling him to shut up. And he says, no one wants to hear about the lowest of lows or how lonely you are or how your brother exploded.
I definitely
Trick's
me off
getting
guard.
These lines every week. He gets something that really
he heard us trash talking his trash talking. He's like, no, I won't.
He's got it. He's good.
Up,
I think
for sure. 100% stepped up. I laughed so hard at it, cause he did say like, oh, then our world exploded. And he's like, I don't know about your boy exploding or whatever. You said. So it's pretty funny.
He says, the truth is you left your brother behind. You're not the friend you pretend to be. Maybe your boy is gone because you left him behind. And Wesley says, you have no idea how I was there for that man. The length I had to go to get to that point. You'll never understand because you'll always be second fiddle to your homeboy. And I'm wondering, the amount of times you hype up Mello, whether you have any hype in for yourself. Trick then calls Wes Afro Thunder and says, if we're going to do this match, we do it on my time, and my time is money. When I'm ready, I'll let you know. I'm now going to do what all your best friends do and leave.
Oh.
So, yeah, setting up a match between these two, which I'm kind of into. You keep on hearing these reports that Trick is, like, improving in the PC, and Wesley is great. I quite enjoyed these both on the mic here, and if this maybe leads to Wesley moving towards a North American title, Wesley Carmelo Hayes, I'm all for that.
Yeah, the thing is, it did a good thing of trying to blend the real life and wrestling, but at the same time, they're still not addressing. So it still is like, yo, did this guy die? This guy's so sad because his friend's gone. And instead it's like, no, actually they fired him because da 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 da.
I don't know what you would say though.
Exactly. Like, so it still leaves this like, wait, okay. Like, yeah, he was incredible in delivering this promo. I bet Nash Carter watching this at home probably was choked up. But then they're using you as this like storyline, and you feel like you kind of got screwed over possibly. You know what I mean? It's really weird. I guess I'll say it. I don't think I'd be opposed to him coming back.
No.
There.
No, me neither.
So it kind of sounds like Carmelo and Trick beat the shit out of him. You know what? Maybe my friend needs to come back and save me.
It does feel that way. It definitely does feel like it's set up that way.
They don't talk about release people.
No, and you, really you feel if they were going to do this kind of thing, Wes would have had this promo a month ago. You know?
Yeah.
Like, even, you're right. Like, even someone like Johnny Gargano, who left on great terms, the next week, like, it's Grayson Waller. He doesn't even name him by name.
I got the legend, yeah.
He's like, oh, and I put that legend away, and it's... They don't mention people's
name. They didn't mention his name on this promo either.
Didn't mention his name, but it was definitely the heaviest they've, like, hit on the topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was interesting, but I thought both performances were good here.
Especially Wes. He shined for sure. I mean, the wrestling's been there, but definitely can deliver. Dude was crying, so, yeah.
We go backstage to Tiffany Stratton, who sat on a fancy-looking chair. She looked like a queen here on her throne.
She always looks like a queen.
Yeah, she's great. She says, what do I think of Wendy Chu? Tragic. When someone sucks at life, you feel bad for the people that have to be around her. Look how I dress compared to how she dresses. Her wardrobe must be just full of all these onesies. And you think she's ever been first place in anything? Or lifted 200 pounds above her head in the gym? She's never even been in a gym. She ruined my ring gear and lost me my match. She calls her a Peter Pan reject, and she's going to put her to sleep for good. Toodles.
I mean, Tiffany Stratton, the greatest superstar in NXT for now, because she's definitely going to the main roster quicker than we think. I think so. I think there was a missed opportunity in the Wendy Peter Pan line. Wendy Chu is her name. Wendy is from Peter Pan. I think she could have weaved that line in. Instead, she just went like, you're a Peter Pan knockup, meaning like you don't want to, you know, grow up. You won't want to grow up. But her name's Wendy. So I feel like, you know, she could have, there was a link there. Like there was a joke there. I'm just thinking, I can't think of it, but it made me go, okay, well, like, you know, I guess I'm excited for this match.
Yeah, it made me laugh when she said, you ruined my ring gear. What, she
threw confetti at you. And it falls off right away, yeah.
But I do like her promo. I think her delivery is great.
Complete total package here in NXT, I think. And I think she should beat Wendy Chu.
Yes, oh, 100%.
The issue is, like, I think she's one of the strong women's, the new crop here. And she's one of the strong ones, but she's a heel. So we need someone to beat Mandy. But, like, we need the babyface to be champion for a while. But I think Tiffany is a shoo-in in a year or so, maybe, if she still is in NXT, but being a champ. But, yeah, Tiffany Stratton makes it happen.
We go to Legado del Fantasma, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro taking on.
If you listen to our Gringo Loco interview, he name drops.
Wow. Joaquin Wilde.
The genius of Lucha, Joaquin Wilde.
Not only did he come up with the ROH logo, but, well, you'll have to listen to the interview to find out.
Yeah, we need one day we'll get him on the show. I do. DJZ, yeah, for sure.
And Raul.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We need Raul.
All three of them. Yes. Electra, too, bring him
on. Yeah. And Stax and Two Dimes, why not? They're taking on the team of Diamond Mine, Roderick Strong, and Damon Kemp. We've seen this before in Kemp's matches where he's kind of like starting a little slow and then Roddy's yelling at him, calls him over, slaps the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
And what I loved here was Cruz del Toro's facial reaction when he saw Kemp get slapped. It was like, ooh!
Yeah.
Oh, shit. But this fires up Kemp, who just starts hitting all these beautiful suplexes, just throwing Cruz and Wilde around, suplexing them on top of each other, does the ground and pound, a nice looking spear from Kemp.
Yeah.
And then Roddy comes in, Cruz hits him with his satellite Rana, and as he's running the ropes, Lorenzo on the outside sticks out the crowbar, tripping Cruz del Toro. Cruz turns around to be like, yo, what you doing? Turns around and eats the flying knee from Roddy, and Diamond Mine pick up the win.
Yeah, I mean, they're already turning on their own boys, which we saw coming. They don't like to see Legado doing well. They want to see them kind of get humiliated, I guess, is exactly where we thought this was going. But again, the story is also Roddy being teamed with Kemp, I think, is like their almost like sweet, easy pass here. We get this vet who knows how to do everything in the ring. Literally the guy we throw into any match to save a show, to save a match, anything. The workhorse here, and put him with this guy who has this wrestling ability, but now is going to learn all these things from Roddy, you know, on screen and obviously off screen. But I think it's definitely working. Again, only a few times we've seen him, but the wrestling is crazy.
It's the style I love.
Yeah, it's like Kurt Angle.
Suplexes and all that. Yeah. And you think if Gable Steveson can be as good as his brother here, like, I know he's being, like, fast-tracked to Raw and stuff.
Right.
But
the wrestling's there.
Yeah, it should be good because the wrestling's there. And Legado never really missed for me.
No, they had some pretty flashy stuff as always. But, yeah, this was a fun little match.
We go backstage to Giovanni Vinci. Looking fabulous here.
Spiffy.
That's very nice. He says, "Mackenzie, I'm standing before you right now as the most supreme athlete in NXT." Yeah, Tony Nese ain't there anymore.
No, he's the most... See the
He's the super athlete, is he?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. He says, "Last week a message was sent and I know that Bron Breakker was watching and I know that Carmelo Hayes and Diamond Mine were watching because a top tier talent has arrived." And that's when Ikemen Jiro shows up and shows off his fancy jacket.
Well, Vici says it's about time someone showed up here in style. And that's when Jiro's like, gotcha. "Oh, did someone say style?" Well, and then he flashes him with his jacket and he says, "Well, you might have style, but are you style strong?" So, yes, we're having the battle of style strong. Style, yeah.
Vinci then speaks in Italian to kind of close this.
But, did you understand what he said?
No, I might write it out.
You know a bit of Italian?
A few things. I did Italian at school.
Nice.
Yeah.
Allora.
Mi chiamo David.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know what else there is.
What else is there?
I don't know, but I listen to a lot of Frank and Dean, so sometimes, you know, I feel like an Italian.
We go... Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot about this.
last week, if you listened or watched NXT, we had newly joined back to NXT. He got his last name. Apollo Crews is back. And
lost his accent.
He lost his accent. He lost his drums. He
became a superhero. Is that what this is?
This is where this is going. I mean, last week he went for a cup of coffee at a diner. And, you know, we've all been in this situation when the table next to you is getting mad and getting aggressive with the wait staff.
And you're like, show some respect.
And you just got to step in.
You got to slam their head against the table.
And beat the shit out of them in a public place. Yeah. So he's done that.
Yeah.
And now... He's, I got like weird, like Batman, like, I don't know what they're going for here. He's in the streets. He's got a notepad and he's jotting things down. And then like, he's talking
to himself. He's got his leather jacket on. He's looking cool.
He's kind of what's the Marvel superhero?
Luke Cage.
He's got like, I guess they're going for that look, like the look, right? I guess, but it's very like, what, film noir, but really done shitty. I don't know.
It's bizarre. So, he's walking down the street and we see these guys like being up someone, maybe trying to mug him or whatever. And Apollo's saying, it's like narrated in his head as he's jotting on his notepad, "Fear lives inside everyone, but you can't run from fear. You've got to confront it. And what do you do when an opportunity presents itself?" And yeah, we see these guys beating up this dude.
And then some guy in the street's like, "Hey, man.
Don't fuck all about it."
"Hey, man, I wouldn't go down there. Nothing but trouble." Again, film noir. Who's talking like
this? Nothing but trouble down there. And then it kind of zooms in on Apollo's face and he's looking. And then it rewinds to the same bit. "Ah, oh, man, I wouldn't go down there. Nothing but trouble down there." And then Apollo walks down. And goes, "Hey, we got a problem here," and tells them to leave. So these guys turn around and are going to fight with Apollo, and Apollo beats the fuck out of them. And then it rewinds again to the guy for the third time.
"You don't want to go back there.
You don't want to go down there.
Nothing but trouble."
But when he's kind of beating up these dudes, it's like in a bubble. It's like he's imagining this happening.
Yeah.
And then you see him just walk towards these guys. So you assume he's going to... This is 2 weeks in a row. We see him thinking about beating someone up, and then he just beats them up.
So next week it's going to show what he actually did, and he's going to go up to them and use his words and not actually beat them up. Like, he's going to, like, go, no, don't do this.
Right.
Violence isn't the answer. He's going to be peacemaker Apollo Crews. Because right now he's like, what, vigilante? He's Charles Bronson here. He thinks he's a vigilante. He's going to go beat up and save people. Like, what is this? I don't understand what's going on here. And again, it's like, the effects on it aren't quite Sin City, but it's like he's talking to himself. The guy's like, there's nothing but trouble down here.
I think there's like, I feel something here could work. Like, I like that they're going for a new, like, presentation with Apollo. But it's just not done too well. And it's the constantly, like, last week it was weird replaying it twice. This time they replayed it three times.
It's really weird.
And it keeps zooming into his face, trying to look serious.
Trying to make the baby face, like, be a hero in public, like, scenarios when really he's just beating the shit out of people. Like, to me, it's just like, what's okay? Apollo Crews is walking down the mean streets of Florida, Orlando, when he sees some white guy getting mugged, and he's like, I gotta save this guy. I'm coming in here. And the trouble, I just don't understand what the whole thing is about.
The thing is, it's also with character, like, with just extras, like, people we don't know. You know, like, if we saw this guy, like, backstage standing up for, like, characters we're aware of, you know, like Von Wagner beating up Ikem and Jiro and him being like, yo, what the fuck?
Nah, he'd probably join in. we'd all put a boot to Ikem and Jiro. Hey, shout out Kushida.
Oh, yeah. Showed up in New Japan.
Look who came crawling back.
Yeah.
No.
Said he's staying in Florida, though.
Oh.
He's living in Florida.
Interesting.
He's going to be traveling to Japan. He mentioned about wanting to, like, help expand New Japan as well. So I imagine we'll be doing a lot of stuff stateside.
Interesting. Well. Quick, book him on Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Jiro soon.
Yeah.
Maybe not. This Apollo thing is just all over the place. It's so funny. It's not supposed to be, but it's really funny. Because I know NXT is developmental, but, like, are the people who are making these things also developmental?
Yeah, clearly.
Because, like, it's clearly not good.
No.
It's funny. Maybe that's what they're aiming for.
Yeah.
A new baby face that beats people up in the streets. But he's doing a good thing. He's a superhero. It's kind of Batman. It was kind of like Robert Pattinson's Batman. Like, detective noir, but it's set now.
Dun, dun, yeah. Dun.
It's what they're
dun.
Going for. It's kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
It's great. Can't wait for more Apollo Crews. Nothing but trouble.
Yeah, don't want to go down there.
Trust me, man.
We go to Toxic Attraction, who come out. Big Gigi Dolin chance here.
Rightfully so. I mean, she got hurt last week, so I don't know. I didn't hear any update on that, but
yeah, she seemed all right. Still managed to carry the rose in her mouth.
Yeah, yeah. The ring. Maybe she carried it in the other hand and put the title in the other
maybe,
hand.
Maybe, maybe. Mandy starts off by saying, last week, Roxanne Perez and her reject friends had a fluke victory, but they're still losers. Roxanne thinks she's on top of the world, and it's embarrassing. All of her dreams are becoming a reality, but she's imagining my title around her waist while she's playing with her wrestling figures, and it's disgusting. Gigi says, this is real life and it's not Cinderella. When the pressure is real and you realize you're not on our level. JC tells her to look at her friend Cora Jade, who folds under pressure. And I would buy another one of your bus tickets and put up posters of real superstars like us on your bedroom wall. Mandy says your dreams are going to become a nightmare and get really ugly if you're thinking about cashing in that contract on me. And that's when Roxanne and Cora come out, and Roxanne says she's feeling on top of the world, but I also know that I've earned every single bit of being to live my dream, and the thing about dreams is they're even better when you get to share them. And after last week, even though it would mean the world to me to be women's champion, and one day I will, but for now, winning the NXT Tag Team Championships would be that much sweeter. And that's when Kayden and Katana come out, and they're mad because, well, the line starts behind them and they're not done yet. Cora throws in a little wisecrack saying, well, you seem pretty done in your house when you lost, and they all start brawling.
Ah.
This sets up a match for next week between Kayden Carter, Katana Chance, Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade, number one contenders match to see who faces Toxic Attraction at Great American Bash.
So we had a whole tournament for the women's breakout, and the winner gets a contract to face the champion. But you know what? I don't want that interim title. I want the real title, the tag titles.
Yeah, I did get the... Because we're going to this number one contender match, I assume she's not using the contract.
No, she is, 100%.
I don't think so.
She said right here, I'm using it to do this. So wouldn't she get the match right away? They did right?
If she cashed in, she'd be able to just have the match. But they're putting them in a number one contenders match. So I think she's still got the contract. She was just like...
What?
That's what I took from this.
Because
otherwise she'd just be like, no, I'm cashing in and we're going for the tag titles at...
Yeah.
Great American Bash.
I don't know. I took that they're scared to pull the trigger right now on her, so they pulled it back to make this excuse of a... It sounded dumb, stupid, kayfabe-wise here. It sounded really dumb that she's like, actually, I don't want that one. I want to face...
It did. I think they're possibly just delaying it.
Yeah.
So you're doing, taking the tag titles away first, and then Mandy's kind of scared because, her girls have now lost the titles, and then going, probably for SummerSlam weekend.
Yeah.
Takeover. For the singles match.
Yeah, it's fine, I guess. It's kind of silly, but I do think Roxanne should be the one. It kind of felt like they were just instantly cooling off on it, but I guess we'll let it play it out. And I do think they'll be doing a special for SummerSlam weekend, so that would be the time to do that.
I think they are planting the seeds quite nice. Obviously, it's wrestling. One of these girls are going to turn on the other.
Sure.
But I quite like how Roxanne comes across... Very sweet and genuine, and
Cora's got
a bit of an attitude and throws in these little digs and stuff to other baby faces and things, which I think is setting that up quite nicely.
I liked Wade Barrett. You know, he always puts on his cologne, but he was talking about how he's putting Sex Panther on, and then him and Vic decide to go in a little bit of a Anchorman line for line there, where they're talking about how does it work 20% of the time?
Yeah.
It works all that time. Also, I mean. This has to... Mandy Rose definitely broke some sort of record for the most underboob on NXT ever.
This week?
Never seen her wear that before. Just saying. This is a kids show. This is PG.
It doesn't know what it is it?
This show does not know what it is. We got people fighting people in the streets. It's all over the place.
I'm looking forward to that tag match, though. I do like Kayden and Katana as a team. And I think Cora and Roxanne have proved they're very capable as well. So I think the tag should be pretty good. But you are right. It's so much in this last month of people just I don't really care about that title.
Yeah.
I want the TNT title. I want the North American title. It's no, guys, you want the world title.
You want the real title.
That's the title you want.
Yeah.
We go backstage to Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. And Mello says that Tony, how do you feel about going against the A champion? And Trick Williams says, Mello says, Trick, you check where's Lee. So how do you feel tonight? Williams says he feels like money and he took care of business. And Mello doesn't care if it's Stacks, Two Dimes, Legado, and Trick chimes in, or El Dorado. They're going to take out those punks. Because that's all it is and all it's ever going to be.
El Dorado.
El Dorado.
City of Gold.
We go backstage to Indy Hartwell, who's very quickly interrupted by Brandon Thurston. Wait, no, Kiana James. Talking all about the numbers and the stats.
Oh, right, true. That's her gimmick here.
And Kiana asks, why are we wasting valuable TV time with Indy Hartwell? I believe in facts and figures, and you're weak-minded and don't have the mental fortitude to do things on your own, and that's why you keep jumping from friend to friend. And Indy says, look, you're new here. How about I could punch you in the face right now, but what about instead I face you next week in a match? This is NXT 2.0, and no one likes a bitch. Do you like a bitch?
that's neither here nor there.
All right, okay. Just checking.
But I thought that was an odd line from Indy. It made me go, huh? What? Indy, what do you... Stop. That as equally as your question to me right now. I just, it was really off that she kind of said that. I get it. She's mad because this girl interrupted you and stuff, but there's no one likes a bitch. No, she didn't even call her a bitch. She just like, no one likes a bitch. So it's just like, huh.
Right. That always gets you in trouble, though. You know, when you're like going, why are you being a dick right now? Don't call me a dick. Yeah. I'm not calling you a dick.
Yeah.
I'm saying you're being a dick.
You're acting like one. You're acting you're like
a
one.
Dick. I don't think you're a dick. You're but
not
right a, now, yeah. In this second,
yeah.
Don't be a bitch.
Keanu James and Indy Hartwell, okay. Like, Keanu's kind of shown some good stuff so far, so.
Yeah, and they're trying to do this, this singles right now with Indy. So, get a few wins, get Keanu a bit more ring time, who's, I think, been impressive so far.
Yeah.
From what we've seen.
And I like her glasses.
And the numbers don't lie.
Never do.
We go to Cameron Grimes taking on Idris Onofi. This was set up last week when Grimes, with a bit of a new kind of focused attitude, was pissed at Idris and Malik Blade. Not pissed at Malik's sweater vest, but pissed because they were leaving before the show was over, before the main event, because they wanted to go and party instead of being superstars and champions.
Yeah, I mean, if Idris... Sorry, who's the one in the sweater vest?
Malik.
Malik, if he's going to the club in that, it's not working. Also, it's Florida. It's going to be very, extremely hot. But this guy is where... Okay, so this sets up this match, and it's Idris versus Grimes. And Idris lately has been rocking this, like King's
Idris looks
robe
cool.
And a crown and like a whole like new
peacock
gear
and everything.
Literally looks like really good lately, standing out. And then Malik is in his corner for this match, and he's dressed like Danny Tanner from Full House. Like, he's just like some dad here in short shorts with the cardigan sweater, and it's like, all right, okay. But like, this guy's shining, and you're just like, all right, here. Like, he looks like the numbers don't lie stats guy here. Like, the Urkel outfit or something. I don't know what was going on.
So a guy I work with, like, found out about, like, you know, Up Next and wrestling fan. And he's like, oh, I used to be a big wrestling fan. And I got picked to go backstage when I was a kid when WWF were in town.
Wow.
And I got to meet Stone Cold Steve Austin, which was, like, the coolest thing.
Yeah.
I got a photo with Steve Austin. Years later, I found this photo. And I threw it away. I was like, what? Why did you throw it away? It's like, I've had this memory of how cool it was this day. I met Steve Austin. Then I looked at the picture. I was wearing a fucking sweater vest.
Oh, yeah. It happens to all of us
once
in a while.
Malik,
not me.
Come on.
Yeah.
If you're listening, sort it out.
I think that's his peacocking. He's trying to be the more like conservative.
All right. Okay.
I really don't know.
You know what? Do whatever you want, guys.
Hey, we're not knocking sweater vests, but it definitely stands out.
Have you ever worn a sweater vest?
No.
I've definitely had.
Oh, you know what? For junior high, we had to.
It
was part of. You could wear, there's like four or so different variations of uniforms that you could wear. So like one, that was the worst one where you had to wear that. But yeah.
Yeah, I've had a sweater vest.
This guy chose to wear this on TV.
Yeah. Sweater vest and a skinny tie in like 2008 was a thing.
It still can be, but you're next to your partner who's like looking like King Macho Man here, the Macho King with this almost like a scepter. It's like, okay, then this guy comes out being like, yes, hello, how's it going?
Yeah. Well, let's go to the match. It starts off and they're kind of matching each other, just counter for counter, blocking, where Onofi finally catches Grimes with a drop kick. Grimes comes back with his leaping Rana followed by the high cross. And now Grimes starts to deliver the yes kicks, the kicks to the chest of Onofi.
Huge roundhouse kicks.
Yeah, and Onofi is doing the, like, come on, give it to me. Bring it.
Another one.
Begging him to give him more. And then eventually Grimes switches up and just does, like, a flat boot to the chest, kicking Onofi down, which fires him up even more, starts to fight back with forearms to the face, and then hits this big topeque on Hilo to the outside, which looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Grimes then just picks up Onofi, spins him around into his side effect, like on the top of the shoulders, looked great, and then just absolutely murdered him with the cave-in.
Whew.
For the 1-2-3. One of the best ones here, I think.
I think one of his best cave-ins, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people do this move in wrestling now, but no one does it as good as Cameron Grimes, and the guy who invented it.
Mm.
So, like, yeah, this one, we were waiting for the replay. Like, please play it again. And they did. And it's like, yeah, check this one out. Because he's dead. He's on the – you got to get a spatula to get him off the mat after taking that one. But
yeah, after the match, Grimes actually picked up Anofi and kind of shook his hand, gave him a bit of a hug, shook Malik's hand as well. So it was kind of like, all right, kid, you proved yourself tonight.
Yeah, I thought he did.
Focused.
This was my match of the night on this show. This is definitely the highlight of this show for me. There was some great showcasing from Anofi. I mean, if he's the guy who's been putting on the flashy gear and stuff, it's because he wants to be pushed and wants to go forward. And this definitely goes in the right direction. I mean, we've been liking what we've been seeing with the team. They've been doing the silly stuff where they're trying to get Mandy and all this stuff. All you need to do is show your wrestling, and you definitely got over with this crowd. This crowd,
like,
going to
maximize his TV time tonight.
Yeah. The crowd are going to be super behind this guy going forward. And it helped Grimes, because Grimes is in this weird territory where he's kind of tweening right now. Like, obviously, we like him. Then the crowd was kind of iffy on him for a bit, and now he's challenging Braun, but he's not quite a heel. It's kind of...
I thought it was respect. I liked that they did the respect thing at the end, because it kind of solidified, okay, this is still a babyface, just he's driven, he's focused. It makes sense. Like, he finally got to that point where he won the title and he lost it. And I think the Cameron Grimes story is something I tend to always like in NXT, what Grimes is doing. And I thought this showcased Idris off really nicely as well.
If Grimes isn't winning this, because he's facing Braun at the Bash for the title. If Grimes doesn't win this, I've broken record, but he needs to go to the main roster. Yeah. I think he's looking in best shape he's looked. I think he's got everything down pat. I don't – they'll change his name to just Grimes or something. But, yeah, I really like this. I did. It was a quick match, but definite highlight of the show because there was some good wrestling. And as soon as it got into Idris kind of getting hype and like, yeah, come on, hit me, I was super into it. So I'm looking forward to seeing where this guy can go.
I'd like to see Grimes take it.
Me too. Me too. So you're what? Grimes wins it and Braun goes to to after Monday Night Raw after SummerSlam or something.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. But yeah.
I'd like to see Grimes get it.
That'd be a pretty big swerve, but I don't think that's happening.
No. We go to Thea Hale, who's arriving at her new dorm at Chase U, and she is just a ball of energy. She's so excited to be going to uni, and she goes to her dorm room and is excited to see who she's sharing with, and it's Bodhi Haywood. And Bodhi's like, what? But you're a girl. She goes, yeah, these are co-ed rooms at Chase U. Isn't that cool? She starts unpacking and she's throwing her clothes everywhere, and Bodhi's looking a little, what's going on here? And then she says, we're going to make every day a win. We're going to make Mr. Chase so happy, as you spotted a sweet Andre Chase poster behind.
Okay, so this is they've done some sort of room up like it's supposed to look like a dorm room, right? And she's all excited, and they're adding cartoon sounds. It's really cartoony, like when she's like throwing things, it goes, and like things like that. But I noticed in the room that they have set up here, they got the Chase U flag and like inspirational, you know, college room things. But there's a giant poster on the wall in the like Obama change campaign, but it's Andre Chase's face.
Same Chase, right? Chase.
And first of all, I thought that was the little thing that actually got the biggest laugh from this whole thing, because the rest of it was kind of just a little too silly for me. But then... second, made me think, where do I get those? And if they do not sell them on WWE Shop, they're missing that opportunity. But Chase.
We'll get rid of this whole set and just have an
the
Andre
Chase Obama sign is something they need to sell. Yeah, look, it's another silly gimmick thing going on in NXT. I think it wasn't as ridiculous as Apollo Crews fighting people in the street, so I'll give it a pass.
Like, realistically, this Chase U thing, it's a... mid to low card comedy thing, and there's normally something every week that gets a laugh out of me.
Yeah.
It's not why I tune into a wrestling show, but you're right. Like, I preferred this to the Apollo stuff.
They say
they're starting school next week.
Okay, so they're actually going to be in classes or like what?
Starting in June?
Summer school, I guess. Yeah.
So we're going to see some school vignette things.
Yeah, Bodhi was really upset that he's rooming with her.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, what's going on? I get it, because I don't know who unpacks like her, where she just throws everything. I don't go, hey, I'm back. I'm your roommate.
I don't know. My room looks like this at the moment.
It was just, I guess it needs to play out. Like, is Bodhi, like, he can't handle living with a girl? Is that the thing? More.
She's a lot of energy.
Okay.
Like, she seems lovely, yeah. But it would be to share a room.
Yeah. Wow, we're going to get, like college, like, what, like, Animal House, super bad style comedy here in NXT, American Pie.
We should just do a whole episode in Chase U one week.
Like, at the...
Just, yeah.
Chase U should put on a wrestling show at their university.
NXT should just be Chase U.
Yeah.
And there's, like, yeah, you're hanging
out. It pretty much is.
It is, so why not go full...
Yeah.
All the way.
Degrassi, essentially. But yeah, weird vignette, but I guess we'll see where it goes. But 5 stars for the Obama Chase U post.
We get Nikita Lyons' vignette. It's some of the same stuff we saw last week with her training, showing her knee all strapped up. And she says when she's over this injury, there will not be a warm-up match. She's going to be kicking ass right away. And she's back in 7 days. So Nikita Lyons returning to NXT next week.
Yeah, it made me wonder with them kind of changing the tag thing with Roxanne. I'm wondering if they want to slot Nikita into the main role to take the title from Mandy. But I guess we'll see next week.
Great American Bash.
Maybe, possibly.
Yeah,
so
possibly.
I guess we'll see. But she's back.
We go to Von Wagner versus Brooks Jensen. This feud's been going on for quite a bit. Jensen had his hand broken by Vaughn, and he'd been wearing the cast, and then
His hand broken by Vaughn, or was his hand broken from, like, whatever?
Not being successful in Tinder, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit of both, I think. Okay. A bit of both.
Yeah.
But he swerved in the other week, taking off the cast to use it against Vaughn to give Briggs the win. So now we've got the singles match here. Vaughn versus Brooks.
I love Brooks' updated outfit here. He's gone hangman here. He's got the cowboy hat, the shirt, the, like, nice gear. Like, he's looking
he's
proper.
He's growing up. He's getting it now.
Yeah. Who's his dad again? B2? Bull Buchanan?
Yeah, Bull Buchanan.
Yeah. Love this guy. This he looked good. He looked better with this. He looked like he leaned into it, but they didn't just go to Walmart and get the cheapest Lynyrd Skynyrd t-shirt. They, like, went to, like, a nicer store and got an actual cowboy shirt.
I like watching these, you know, kids starting to get it. Like, that's what I mean with Malik. It's like, just think about the sweater vest, Malik.
Because I'll tell you right now, if what's his name? Brooks and Dunn? What's this guy's name?
Brooks Jensen.
Brooks Jensen. He goes out wearing this outfit.
He'll do all right.
He ain't going to be needing that cast no more. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Would you wingman Brooks Jensen?
I don't think I need to. Look at him with this outfit. But 100%.
But do you think it would be a fun night out with these guys?
Yeah.
Briggs, Brooks, and Fallon?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Fallon, first round's on me.
Yeah, I'd order a B2. What is a B2?
You mean a B-52?
B-52.
Yeah, but the joke worked, yeah.
B-52 for Brooks and... And they are Brooks and Briggs. They're B2.
Yeah. Wow.
Was that the joke the whole time?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, this match.
So it's a lot of Wagner just attacking the hand. He squeezes it in between the turnbuckle at one point.
He sticks it in the metal part. Yeah. So like his fingers are in it as he like beats on the hand. So like this would break fingers or something. Break your fingers.
Slamming it against the apron. Jensen starts to fight back. He hits a spinning back fist, almost like the Hurricane at one point. And then the diving DDT off the second rope. Clearly been watching Scotty Too Hotty versus Dean Malenko from Backlash 2001.
Diving?
One?
Yeah, the diving DDT.
Yep. But Vaughn comes back and hits his big Death Valley driver for the win.
It's not a death. It's the attitude adjustment, but not as good as John Cena's, I find.
I disagree. I think it looks... He gets some height and kind of holds the neck a bit more.
Because Okada does this move as well, but Okada makes it look a lot better.
Yeah.
Okada does like this. It's like the attitude adjustment sort of. I don't know. It's never the best.
I've always found the attitude adjustment weak.
It is.
I don't know. Wagner gets a bit more height with it here. But it's fine.
Oh, because he's an incredible wrestler. Mm. Von Wagner definitely still just kind of looks the same every week, I guess, going forward. But it was Brooks that stood out here. Finally getting some shine here. I mean, we made fun of those vignettes all the better part of this past year or whatever, but wouldn't it be crazy if one day, one year, we get to say most improved or best wrestler of the year when this guy becomes WWE champion.
Absolutely.
This guy, Brooks.
He's young as well, right?
That's it. We're going to get behind the Brooks train now.
Yeah, I'm all... Yeah, he's 20. This kid's 20.
Wild.
Yeah. So, good for him.
Good for him. Love the outfit, but he lost to Vaughn. They need to sell Von Wagner's World, like Wayne's World, the logo for Wayne's World, but Wagner's World. I would buy it. I'm going to make it later, and we'll sell them.
Just email WWE. Or just on the Up Next Tour. See how long.
We don't need the families to sign off or whatever. No. All the royalties will go to us. It's
fine. Just message him, Vaughn, we made you a shirt. WWE ain't making you one. Here it is. Support Up Next. Subscribe to the YouTube. That's what we ask.
He would be like, oh, thanks, guys. That's great. And I'll be like, LOL, it's Von Wagner's World, and we're just living in it. Excellent. For Wagner's World.
We go to the woods.
We're back in the woods.
Back in the woods.
Are we out the woods?
With Spooky Joe Gacy and his dyad mates. He says, I offered yourselves purpose. You gave up your life, purpose, and everything that was measured by fame and championships. When you realized it was all just a pipe dream, you were planning on packing up and going home. But I showed you the light that was inside of you. You were reborn and ready to take on the world. You may have tasted gold before, but not like this. Now that you two have come together under my guidance, you will start succeeding. You'll get a load of good shit. Basically. And
yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Insert words.
The one thing I got from this, I mean, we've been thinking this is GYV.
I think it is.
Haven't seen them for a while. One of the lines in this gave me the impression that these are two
singles
champions who he's brought together.
Champions.
Yeah. He's saying about you've tasted gold before. Now, I mean, GYV.
So that's just GYV.
Well, GYV, what NXT UK champions.
Still
but
counts.
It was the line, you two, like, I've brought you two together under my guidance. Which made me think, are there any, like, former singles
not like, that are champions? Not that are still signed.
No, like, nothing comes to mind, but, yeah.
I guess we'll see the big reveal of who could
the
it
only
be.
Thing in, I've just, who's under the hood? I like a surprise.
Shout out Hoods in Hoods. Wrestling. Shout out Hoods. Keeps going. Mm. More Hoods. Good stuff.
Alba Fire versus Lash Legend.
Oh, yeah.
This was set up last week. Alba Fire coming out with a flaming baseball bat. And she hits a schoolboy to Legend, but into the turnbuckle early on, followed by her missile dropkick. And then Alba hits the spinning leg kick and a tornado DDT for a two. Legend hits a boss man slam. Fire then hits the gory bomb, goes up the top for her swanton, but jumps and rolls through, turns around, and Lash uses the baseball bat against Fire for the DQ. So Alba Fire wins by DQ in a pretty nothing match here.
Yeah, there was a few moves from each, but it was pretty quick to get to the...
Let's get to DQ.
The finish. I mean, the bat would hurt more than a normal bat because it was just lit on fire. And this aluminum bat would be pretty hot.
Yeah.
You could, like, burn her with it. So, watch out. But even more importantly, this feud's going to continue. So...
It feels a bit of a nothing feud for me. Like, we've seen Kaylee Ray challenged for the title before. And now she's gone away and... to reinvent herself and come back to hopefully strive for bigger things.
Yeah.
And she's in a feud against Lash Legend in a very nothing match.
She's probably going to lose to Lash
Legend. I feel
Legend.
Apart from the new name and now she likes fire, she's still kind of in the same spot where she's just kind of drifting around in NXT, not really finding a place.
Yeah, definitely need to try. We say this every week we see her now. Just put her on the main roster and see what you can do with her. Because I think it could work, but I don't know. This is that not it. And I could see Lash going over.
Yeah, perhaps.
There was before that, there was Braun and Grimes backstage where Braun, like, you know, came over to him and been like, hey, you know, kind of said
you
did
Braun
the respect
was like, you got a lot of heart there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of guy I want to see at Great American Bash. And Grimes warns him that, well, if you're getting that guy at Great American Bash, you're going to lose your championship.
To the moon. He didn't say that.
Yeah. So next week, we got Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez versus Kayden and Katana, with the winners facing Toxic Attraction at Great American Bash. Nikita Lyons is returning, and we've got Sanger versus Zion Quinn. I miss Sanger this week. I like a bit of charming Sanger on my Tuesdays.
They're making us wait.
Yeah.
Keeping the big stars for every other week.
Yeah.
The big shows.
I guess so.
Sanger, next week.
Main event time, Tony D'Angelo taking on Carmelo Hayes for the North American Championship. Tony is like mouthing off to Santos, telling him to look and watch and learn. Melo does his like basketball shoot and score pose. And this is where Tony's family get on the apron. So you've got Stacks and Two Dimes. Shout out Two Dimes.
Shout out Two Dimes. Out.
Last appearance. Gets on the apron. And then Trick gets on up the other side. Santos gets on the apron, showing he's backing up Tony, and kind of tells Legado, boys, like, come up. Like,
yeah.
We're a family here. Melo gets the advantage for a little bit. There's the springboard clothesline from Melo, followed by his satellite takedown for a two count. Tony is chatting some more shit, just saying, I'm the champ, I'm the Dom, while punching him in the face.
He hits a pretty nice exploder suplex, Tony D'Angelo.
He's got nice suplexes, yeah, nice throws. There's a code breaker from Melo for a two. This is where D'Angelo's hitting some more, like, big over-the-head exploders and suplexes.
It was when Hayes kind of hits him with that. He hits a crazy-looking code breaker. His is like a jumping
diving.
Yeah, his is way cooler than a lot of people's. But he hits that, and then when Tony comes back, he realizes he's got to step it up, finally. And he does a lot of, chain wrestling almost. Not chain wrestling, but, like, amateur wrestling. Like, gator rolls almost and, like, overpowering Hayes. Which when we first heard about Tony, we're like, wow, this guy's got this, like, amateur wrestling background. But he comes in as this cartoon character who is just a mob guy. Mm. So it was a little taste, a bit more than we usually see of that he can do this. So it does make me go, why don't we just get to that more so? You'd be way more over with just everyone. The crowd, the online people, just everyone watching.
Maybe he's just not there yet.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, but, he can show he can do it, but, like, it's... He's still super new to this, you know? But, yeah, it is kind of finding a way to marry these characters together. Because I think that's what I always get when I look at Santos. I get this, like, you know, mob boss leader, but he also carries it right through to the wrestling. He's always got that poise about him and everything. Whereas you are right, like, Tony's a bit of a cartoon character, and then he just happens to wrestle.
Yeah.
Tony then crawls over to Santos, kind of both guys are knocked down, and he's telling him to give him the brass nuts. So Santos gets them out, puts them on the mat, and slides them across the ring, but slides them too far. Was it deliberate? I think so.
Oh, yeah, he fakes it, and then he slides it to Hayes. Yeah. Like, right, clear as day. Yeah.
Whoops. So Melo uses the brass nuts against Tony D'Angelo to retain the title.
So then there's like a stare down with the Tony family looking over, like, you screwed me. We already got to that point. Yeah. Literally 2 weeks, we're already at this thing. Okay, cool. I thought the brass knucks right in the middle of the apron spot was just done recently with, what, Punk, MJF, Wardlow?
We had it as well with the, exactly, with the ring.
Yeah.
You had similar with Heyman with Brock and Roman, where he slid the title.
Okay.
On that. We've seen this a few times.
Was that from their first match, or was that from their 36th match?
Yeah.
Brock and Roman.
Yeah, 36th or 5th.
Cool. Yeah, this didn't get to, like, a level I kind of maybe thought it could have, but it had some cool stuff. Hayes needed to be protected, and I guess this was all just set up to give him a W, and meanwhile let the family mafia storyline continue.
Yeah, so part of me wonders if we're going to another multi-man. You mentioned it earlier, because you've got Solo, who's been in this picture for a while.
Yeah.
Waller potentially is now part of it.
For sure.
Santos and D'Angelo might be part of it.
Wes.
And now Wes Lee. So
maybe you set that up for the SummerSlam show, a six-man ladder match.
Again. Just another ladder
match. Yeah, this guy's like, man, every time I'm champion, I got to put it on the line. Yeah, I don't know. Overall, like, this main event didn't hit too well for me, but I did think this show flowed a bit better than some of the other ones that we've seen from there. It felt like there was still a lot of segments and stuff, but everything kind of didn't just come at me rushing like maybe it always does. Not like Excalibur levels on Dynamite, but still, usually it's like a little, it's just annoying.
I like when they keep the sort of like silly vignette things to like one or two. This week we had Apollo and we had Chase U. That's kind of it. It was a lot more focused on wrestling. And for me, I'm with you. The main event was fine. Like, it wasn't bad. Didn't really blow me away. But I thought the wrestling overall was pretty solid this week. I did enjoy Anofi and Grimes. And I enjoyed the women's tag a lot. I enjoyed Wes Lee's promo quite a bit. So I was really down on last week's. I thought this was a lot better and definitely more as your like developmental brand. This is kind of what I want to see more of.
Yeah, this show made more sense. And it did have some wrestling. I'd say the highlight is that Grimes match with Anofe. Definitely a little bit of a breakout there, I think, for him. But yeah, overall, it had some funny stuff. Apollo Crews fighting people in the street, fighting around the world today. Nothing but trouble.
Is his Great American Bash thing going to kind of be like
20 people, Wardlow? Civilians, your asshole neighbor,
it should be
your
shot.
Boss.
It should be shot. What is that? Is it Streets of Rage? No, what's the thing? Streets it should just be that.
Be walking through. Think of all the people you hate.
Filmed in 2D, like going down.
All the people you hate in your life, everyone who's done you wrong, he's going to beat them up for you.
Yeah.
Because he's your hero. Yeah, exactly. With his notepad. Walking around with a notepad like, oh, I better jot this down. What are you jotting down? That you're beating people up?
Writing whilst walking around.
Yeah. Normal people text and walk. What are you doing? Stop it. Yeah, what an interesting... I can't wait to see where they go with Apollo Crews. And where does he fit in with the Great American Bash as well?
Apollo...
I don't know.
You had the impression it was going to be him and Bron from his first week, but he's like, that's later down the line. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, Apollo needs a match for that show.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. Yeah. Sanger. No, he's sure. A good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what we thought. Let's go to see what you guys thought. We put up feedback on our Up Next Facebook group every Tuesday. So if you have Facebook, please go and join that and let us know what you think of the show, as well as signing up to our youtube.com/upnext. We'll start with Sean, who says, I might be the only one, but I really enjoyed NXT 2.0 tonight. They nailed the in-ring action. While the matches continue to be shorter than I'd like, I feel the time spent in the ring is exciting. Most importantly, the talent is improving across the board. Kemp, Wagner, Jensen, and even Lash Legend looked much better tonight and benefited from being across the ring against veteran talent like LDF and Alba Fire. The new Cameron Grimes continued to be a standout as he put on the match of the night with Idris Anofi and had a short but impactful interaction with Bron backstage. I also like the idea of Roxanne going after the women's tag titles with Cora for now, and their match next week against Katana and Kayden could be a show stealer, and let the club kids be the heels we all know they really are. He spelt club kids with K's, so I think he means Katana and Kayden there. Plus, did anyone else notice Roxy talked her way into a number one contenders match for the tag titles without cashing in her contract?
So she's not cashing
in? No, I don't think so. The main event was also good. Mello had great chemistry with everyone, it seems, and Tony D more than did his part. And I love the finish with Santos, quote-unquote, accidentally sliding the brass knucks to Mello. All in all, the road to Great American Bash is getting more and more interesting.
Thank you, Sean. And then we go to our last one here from Corey. Didn't really watch NXT tonight, but just wanted to let you guys know that apparently Saray and Miko Satomura are teasing a match against each other on social media. So that might be worth checking out if it airs on NXT UK.
Yeah, wow. Sure. Send Saray to NXT UK.
Hell yeah.
Like, what's she doing here?
Damn, you think the
superpowers? She could probably teleport there, just go through a portal.
Yeah, and she's just there. Oh, wait, I'm in the wrong... Where am I? Just goes... Yeah.
Yeah. That could be good.
Too bad we're never getting Miko Sasha Banks.
Not yet.
Miko Io.
Io is injured, right?
Yeah, sadly. Mm. This is why the show is suffering, because she's not on it. Thank you guys for writing in there. And that match does have my attention. I will check that out if it does happen. NXT UK does put on some good stuff.
Yeah.
Once in a while, if you cherry pick there. And I use Shot in the Dark to do that. Cause he always is like, yeah, this match was good. I was like, all right, if he says it was good, it's probably good. Usually exactly. Is. Well, guys, thank you for listening to us talk about NXT here tonight on Up Next. Join that Facebook group and follow us on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. We need at recording 48 people, 48 more people of you listeners. Go hit that subscribe on YouTube. Even if it's your work YouTube account, your Gmail account, go hit subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah. Next time you speak to your mom, be like, mom,
why aren't you subscribed?
Have you subscribed to Up Next YouTube yet?
Be like,
it's easy.
Mom, come on.
They'll go, well, I don't know the address, Steve. And you go, well, mom, it's youtube.com/upnext. Couldn't be easier.
Come on, Steve.
And then, mom, you can go and watch our Gringo Loco interview.
I bet you love it.
It's great.
Yeah. Well, that was it. Go check out all the other stuff as well, the YouTube and our Patreon as well. Patreon.com/upnext. It's what keeps our lights on. Literally. So go check out all the podcasts we have, all the retro NXT reviews, all the movie reviews. We have a review of The Thing from 1982. It's the 40th anniversary of John Carpenter's The Thing. That's up there as well. And next week, is it next week?
Next week, yeah.
25th anniversary of a little movie. You might have heard of it. Face Off, Travolta, Cage, Peaches. A lot of things in this movie, and we're going to talk about it. I would love your feedback on that. We'll put up a Patreon thread for that, but I'll put one on the group upcoming this week as well. So get your feedback in for Face Off, 25th anniversary of that. We're going to be chatting all about that on the Patreon, but all the other wrestling stuff as well, everything out there on the Patreon. Go check us out. It's only $5. If you like us a little bit, it goes a long way for us, and we would like to hear your thoughts on all the podcasts that we do for you guys.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun.
Do it.
Yeah. I myself, Braden Harrington, you can find me on Twitter and I am on Instagram. I am at the Bray D.
And I am at Davey Portman. And don't forget also prowrestlingtees.com/upnext to get your sweet Von Wagner t-shirt.
Yeah, coming soon. Imagine we just did it. What would he do?
Fuck it.
You wouldn't know.
Fuck it. We're on YouTube and Twitch at the same time now. We don't give a
rebels.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? When you walk down an alleyway and there's a guy standing there and he says, look, man, you don't want to go down there. It's nothing but trouble. It's because we're at the end of that.
Yeah.
We're the ones. We're the trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble.
Yeah, come at us, Apollo.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's all. And be safe and nothing but trouble.
Ahoy!
Trouble.